got Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram. And, of course, the Medina Gazette joining us on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Our man Jim Vandermark, of course, was with us yesterday for the spotlight on Avon Lake when we were over at John Christ Winery, and he bought us the infamous Bull Whip. That was awesome. Did you enjoy yours?
I did, yeah. I finished it. So, yeah, that should speak to it. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
It's very good stuff. Lisa, how are you? Always a pleasure to have you on with us. How are things going down in Medina today?
Things are going pretty good. You know, we've got some good news going on down here, and everyone's busy.
Well, busy is a very good thing in our business, no question about that. We're hopeful that folks will get busy beginning in a couple of weeks here for the signups for the Not Forgotten box. I know this is something that we have talked to you about before, but it's always a pretty exciting time of the year because the Not Forgotten box, that for those that don't know what that is, it's always really, really cool to see how folks come to the Chronicle and really get behind this.
Yes, this is probably the 65th year for the Chronicle Telegram's Not Forgotten box, which we do in partnership with the O'Leary Salvation Army, just kind of make sure that no child is forgotten for Christmas. They all have something open Christmas morning. And, you know, it's really great to see how everyone comes together. Our lobby turns into like this Santa's workshop, so to speak. And so now's the time when people can sign up so that they can know that come November, December, when these toys are distributed, they can be on the list. And then we start taking sign-ups starting at 10 a.m. on October 18th, as well as October 25th and November the 1st, at the Salvation Army's offices at 716 Broad Street. They come there, they bring their identification, proof of income, and, you know, they give a little wish list for their children, and we try to fulfill that wish list with the donations from the Not Forgotten box.
That's awesome stuff. And again, the first sign-up date is 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's actually a day after we have the 70th anniversary open house here tomorrow, too. So very cool stuff. 2 weeks from tomorrow, that's the first day to sign up. I want to transition into something else that I read earlier this week, and I thought it was pretty fascinating. City Council has agreed to raise the maximum age for police recruits in Elyria from 35 to 40. And, you know, 5 years may not sound like it makes that big of a difference, but in reading through the article, it sounds like it's going to make a very big difference, according to Chief Whiteley.
The chief believes that they can make a big difference. He says over the years of him being police chief, he has come into contact with several people between the ages of 35 and 40 who are still fit, who can still possibly pass all the requirements to become a police officer, but they don't hit this age requirement. And this age requirement is a state rule, but the state also allows cities to adjust that rule if by a city ordinance. That's what Elyria did. They passed a city ordinance that will increase the age from 35 to 40 as the maximum age requirement for police officers. And so that gives some older adults who want to change careers an opportunity to apply to be a police officer in Elyria.
I thought it was fascinating, too, that he had mentioned that they've experienced this in the past where they've gotten phone calls from folks who are 36 and they have to tell them, look, sorry, we can't do that. And I think he also made another interesting point in there as well, talking about how, look, a lot of times you get people who are right in that range of, you know, 35, 36, and, you know, they've done some military service in their lives, and, you know, they're looking for a new career path, and they come back, and he said, look, this is the exact age range that we're looking at. They still want to work in service in some form or fashion. It almost seems like this is an ideal career for some of those folks.
And this could be an ideal career because, you know, military people, especially if you're talking military police, they already have this passion to give back and help their community. They already know what it's like to go into serious situations and render aid. So you're looking for these people. And so in Elyria right now, they have kind of they're in this hiring frenzy because they cannot keep the hires going on as fast enough. They have retirements. Back in 1992, when they passed the police levy, they started hiring two and three groups of officers at a time, kind of bringing them in all year long. And so now, more than 25 years later, you have all of these officers who are set to retire. And so you have huge groups of officers that are eligible to retire, and they can't hire fast enough to replace those officers. You have fewer people who are applying to take the test, and you have this higher retirement rate. So the two of those combined means it's really hard for them to hit that sweet spot. They will hopefully get to 90 officers, and right now they're at 81 officers, with actually one retiring this month.
Well, do they think this will help kind of fill in that shortage they've got?
They're hoping. Of course, they won't know for sure until they can schedule the first civil service exam that will hit this requirement. That won't be until 2019 because the Civil Service Commission also has to change the rules to allow for this to happen first.
Gotcha.
Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram and Medina Gazette here on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. And I think what's interesting, too, about this is the idea that, you know, the minimum age would be 21 for recruits, and now the maximum age is being raised from 35 to 40. It didn't seem as though this was met with any kind of resistance, was it?
No, it was not, because city council members know that the police departments had a lot of trouble getting new hires in. Every time they would hire two or three, then two or three would retire. And so we've been hovering, Illyria's been hovering around this 80 and 82 officers for several years now. And when Issue 6 was passed back in 2016, it gave the city enough funding to get to 90 officers. And so the funding is there to pay for the officers. And so now we just have to get some hired.
Well, as you mentioned, they're right around 80, 81, I believe was the number, and they don't want to go much further into the triple digits, although I think the max was just over 100. But it's fascinating, though, because, you know, that age range, 35 to 40, I think, you know, Matt, you're approaching 35. You're getting pretty close, aren't you?
Sure, yeah. I don't know if I fall into that fitness. I mean, these guys have to go through a lot. So, I mean, it's impressive. And you do see a lot of people. It seems, what do they say, 40's the new 30 these days. A lot of gentlemen who are still in good shape at that age.
I can tell you, 40 is indeed the new 30. No question about that.
Sure.
Well, moving into something entirely different, the Lorain County Urban League's Empowerment University. Boy, this was fun to read about. We've had Frank Whitfield with the Lorain County Urban League on the show many times before. Always enjoy having Frank on, and he does a lot of wonderful things. And this Empowerment University, they're working on space to put together, I believe, a video and an audio room where they can really kind of teach some folks some new skills. This Empowerment University sounds like it's going to be really neat.
Yes. And, you know, and this coincides with the Lorain County Urban League's 40th anniversary, which was coming up. They'll be having a huge celebration later this month. And, you know, when you're talking about the video and audio programs, technology makes it so that a lot of people can, you know, get into this field that probably wouldn't been able to do it before. And so now they just need to be able to have the space and the equipment to do this. And so with the Urban League doing this, they can kind of bring a lot of young minds into this who are a lot of creative people who just need the space and the equipment to do the things they want to do.
And what kind of space are they talking about here? I mean, how much room are we talking about?
Well, you know, it's going to be a average-sized studio. The Urban League, well, Middle Avenue, they have a pretty good-sized building. They have a third floor that has, you know, a lot of open space. They do a lot of meetings up there, so they have the space for this. And so, and you know, and this Empowerment University is not just going to be about the video-audio programs. They're also going to be offering classes in technology and finances and youth development and business, and so they want to utilize the space and make sure they can empower people to make, you know, contributions to their community.
Well, and it's always interesting to talk to Frank because they have a lot of, as you mentioned, different workshops, I know, throughout the course of the year, and they do a lot of really wonderful things. There's no question about that. Well, speaking of wonderful things, there is a great story on a Northwood student that saved a young boy from drowning over the summertime down on vacation in Florida. This was a really cool story, and as I understand it, this past week, she was honored by Superintendent Tom Jama.
Yes, she was. This student, who is a Northwood middle school student, she's in sixth grade, she was able to save a little boy. They were on the trip. This is Our Family, which is a nonprofit group that works to make sure that they can get children, out for field trips and college visits and provide educational experiences. And so each year they take a group of kids to Florida, and this time they were at Walt Disney World. They were at his timeshare there in Orlando, and she saw a young boy. He was struggling in the water, and she went over and she saved him, and the child's grandmother was so happy. And so the Our Family team, they came back and they let the school district know, you have a student here who has gone above and beyond to make sure that she can save someone else. And, you know, the school district decided to honor her. This was at the Our Family's end of the wrap-up presentation program they do. They allow all of the kids to kind of talk about what they learned on their field trips. And she actually included this incident in, you know, her highlights of what she did while she's on vacation.
Very, very cool stuff. That was a fun story to read, to hear all about that and how she was being honored as well. Very, very fun story. Those are always the ones you enjoy hearing about, no question about it. Well, Lisa, as always, we really do appreciate the time. We know you're busy down there in Medina, so we appreciate you stopping by. You know, I'm going to put this blame on Matt Douglas. We were out at the winery yesterday. We know on occasion you like to enjoy a glass of wine, and it's Matt's fault we didn't bring you one back here in studio.
Sorry about that, Lisa.
I'm going to hold that against Matt, too.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Lisa. I didn't realize. Bull didn't send me the memo. That was on me.
I was gone for 4 days, so it certainly could not have been on me. Have you ever been to the John Christ Winery?
I have not been there. I understand. I mean, I know we have some great wineries in Lorain County, so I've not been out to that one.
It is pretty awesome if you ever get a chance. It's really fun stuff. But, Lisa, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. See you guys then.
Thank you. Again, that's Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram, and, of course, now with the Medina Gazette joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.